So without further ado, let's give a very warm welcome to Adrian.
This is the bit I hate. He always does this for me. Now, if you were a whole group of children, I'd have no problem as a teacher. Adults, no, I don't do.
Why don't you just tell us a little bit about
so anyway, I'm Corinne, married to Adrian. I'm his better half. We have three children and two grandchildren. We have been in Kettering for 20 years. Previous to that, we were 20 years in a church in Bishop Stortford in Hertfordshire. But God called us to Kettering. And I think I've done my little bit, and I'll leave the rest to you.
Isn't it wonderful just to be here? In God's presence. For you, maybe it's a regular place, for me, visiting. So thank you so much for Nick and others and leadership, your invitation. It's a delight. It's a delight to be here. It's a delight to see Mike and Sue also be moving in. I know you'll be getting to know them. Perhaps you know them already, but it feels like a weekend of things coming together. And so I want to encourage us that God is here. But it wasn't always that way. And maybe for you, I don't know your journeys. For me, there were several defining things in my life. One, that I was brought up in a mission church, but that did not believe in any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it was like words, Father, Son, and Holy Scripture were the things. But to meet and know the Holy Spirit, hear His voice, I never heard any teaching. But what I did, my dad used to preach, and I used to play with my toy cars at his feet while he preached. And it just opened me up, began to open me up to things of God. And then as a teenager, somebody prayed and said, Adrian, there's power received through the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for you. I didn't have any theological look through the book of Acts. I trusted my friend and he prayed for me. And just God's love and power and grace came that just, I shed lots of tears. It changed. It brought him alive to me. I thought, oh, this is you, the one I worship and pray. That's like you. And when I read scripture, I think, this is you. It brought an immediacy of the presence of Jesus to me that has lasted. So we thank God for my history and for your histories, whatever it is, faithful Sunday school teachers, pastors, whatever it was, people who have spoken into you. But I want to talk this morning from an Old Testament scripture, and I want us to look at one of these, I'd like to call him crazy, but if I ever meet him in eternity, crazy Ezekiel. If you've read Ezekiel, maybe you would use that word. He's one of the unusual guys. He's a man of vision. He is a man of poetic vision. And even as we read it, you think, what are you talking about, Ezekiel? But he had some very defining prophetic words that I want to speak over yourselves here. So it's going to be quite a broad theme. And it's a vision that we're going to look at in Ezekiel 37. It's all about the bones. When you think, which one? The bones one. It's a vision that speaks of restoration and hope and advancement. It doesn't start there, but it ends with an army. It doesn't start with full of life, because we're going to see Ezekiel is in a field of bones, thousands of them. It starts in brokenness and despair and what's all this? But it doesn't finish there. And the great thing is, however maybe you came this morning thinking my life feels like bones, it's not where we finish in Christ. He's our hope and He's our strength. So, what happens for a field of bones can happen for us too. Maybe your marriage, maybe people in your family, maybe your life. Maybe we see things in the church too. Lord, you make things new. I'm making all things new. You know, through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, the newness of things was guaranteed. It doesn't hang on us at all, but the newness of everything hangs on the death and resurrection of Christ. So however you hang on to that, because that is our guarantee for eternity. What he did in Christ, he will do for the, all of the cosmos. Like everything. Everything's going to be made new. I mean, look up and down the rows. Everything's going to be made new. Think of the things in our lives that are like bones. Everything will be made new. But as I speak, I don't want to just talk about us as individuals. I want to speak to you in Bassett Street Church. I think there's some things from this passage that will strengthen you, I believe. He's the Lord who talks to us. So let's open our ears. Lord, we want to hear what you say. Encourage you, if you've got a phone or a notepad, if there's little thoughts that you have as I'm speaking, as long as it's not like, you know, half a dozen eggs and two packets of bacon. Although bacon and eggs. Oh, no, you sense God speaking, write it down. Some of us, it's like we need to retune in to hear his voice. He's a speaking God. But because we have all the other stuff on our phones, it's difficult to hear him. So Lord, we want to be tuning in to your voice. He speaks. And one of the ways we do that, we can practice and we can put some thoughts down. Is that you, Lord? And then we can take it away and meditate on it. So Lord, would you bring your freedom? I pray, would you bring your hope? Would you bring your life and your purpose for each person here, for Bassett Street Church? Or would you speak? Would you speak? Or would you speak to us? Or would you come by your beautiful, gracious presence? You're here amongst us, two or three gathered, there you are. But Lord, we ask. We ask for your dwelling presence. So that's Ezekiel 37, verse 1. I'm just going to read little bits and move on through it as we go. The hand of the Lord was on me, that's Ezekiel. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. I'm thinking, Lord, that's not my call. You've called me to be prophetic. Look, not, have we got the wrong place? What's happening? He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones. Look, there's bones everywhere, all over the floor of this valley. Bones that were very dry. Remember Ezekiel, he's a devout follower of scripture, the Old Testament, and so bones and dead bodies are unclean. He's like in a really dirty place, not just physically, but spiritually. He's fighting for, Lord, what is this? This is like abhorrent. This is uncleanness to the max. Bones that were very dry. And he asked me, the Lord asked, Son of man, can these bones live? Imagine the warfare. Imagine all the mud and the death around. And it's just bones and bones of people. That's where Ezekiel is. He's in this place of, this is a stench of death. Every bone's clean and dry, but imagine to sit, there's skulls and hip bones and thigh bones and fingers. And God led Ezekiel backwards and forth. It's like God says to him, take a long look. Take a long look. Question we might ask is, where did these bones come from? Where are these bones? Well, if you know anything from biology, every bone was once part of a body. Every bone, I think it's 207, is that right? 207 bones in a human body. Every bone was once part of a functioning human. But now they're terminated. Now there's death. Every bone once was part of a human, and every human had a function and purpose. But now all that purpose has been lost. It's a memory. They were once a great people. The scripture says in Ezekiel 37, they were a mighty army. They were, but now look, a field of bones, a field of dead dreams. It's now a grave site. But the prophet is used. God says, I want you to walk, come with me and walk up and down. Walk up and down, see the bones. See it, Ezekiel. And by the end of you seeing it, I'm going to do a work through you. Now I wonder, where is God putting you and all you see is bones? You think, Lord, this isn't my call. This isn't where I should be. All I can see are bones. You see people that have lost hope. Maybe you daily sit next to them, encounter them, speak to them at the shop, whatever. People, it's just bones, Lord. This is like abhorrent. Get me out of here. God says, I put Ezekiel and I put you in places where you can speak life to bones. Maybe as a church, think, Lord, we're here in this street, Bassett Street. What are you calling us to do? It's just bones. God says, I've put you where you're going to speak life to streets of bones. By the end, we're going to see these bones joined together and hope and new life. Because Ezekiel is a man who speaks God's word. He hears God and he speaks God's word. So where he's placed amongst the bones, he's now given a commission. He's saying, I'm going to wake up. He's going to say, wake up. God asks him this absurd question. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Lord, what do I know? But you know. Good answer, Ezekiel. See, God isn't like he's stuck. God isn't like, oh, as I look at these, I don't know what we can do. Ezekiel, you got any ideas, Ezekiel? I don't. What do you think? God's inviting a response. And maybe even this morning, I feel like he would be inviting responses from you. Can these bones live? Can they? And that exposes our weakness, what I don't know, but you alone know. And faith starts to come into Ezekiel's hearts. So as we think of family members, work colleagues, neighbours, can these bones live? Your organisation you work for, something in the council, in the borough, can these bones live? Lord, in you, yes. In you, yes. So I wonder what when you think of dead bones, what do you see? What do you think of? Is it a ministry? Really, one of the things that God wants to ignite in us sometimes is fresh ministry in him, where we've been burnt bones. We've been burnt out. We've experienced pain. We've thought, I'm not doing that anymore. And we've become a dry bone. The Sovereign Lord had invited a response from Ezekiel, a fresh commission. And with commission came permission. Ezekiel, you have permission to speak. He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Dry bones, hear what the Lord is saying. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you. And I'll cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I'm the Lord. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What is it that bones don't have ears, but ears have bones? Hear the word of the Lord. Dry bones, hear. Friends, you may live amongst dead bones, but the Lord speaks and bones can hear. Bones are not immune from hearing the word of the Lord. I mean, look around the room. We were all once bones, weren't we? We were dead, we were separate, we were dry, arid, buried in the ground, bones. But now through his grace, he woke us up and he filled us, he put his breath in us. So he's already started across the planet today. Worshippers, thousands, millions of people that were dry bones are alive in him. But did you just hear? Did you see? Life comes through hearing the words of the Lord. Bones hear the words of the Lord. Here, there's creative power when God speaks. Let there be light. Lazarus, come out. There's creative power when the Lord speaks. The words of Jesus have dynamic authority in the cosmos. And Jesus says, actually, doesn't he? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, they will never be crushed or diminished or reduced. Friends, let me encourage you. Put your full confidence in the word of God. The words that he said, because out of all eternity, those words will live. And they will live in your heart as we embrace them. They can live in the church and fill us with rocket fuel for his purpose. Hear the word of the Lord. Do you hear it? Have you heard it? Have you received it? And as you've received it, have you meditated on it? Because Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words remain in you, then you'll bear much fruit. It's not just the abiding, it's the words I say remain in you. Friends, let me urge you, treasure the words of God for the church, for individuals, for your life, through scripture. We meditate it on it, eat on it, because these things bring life to us. Hear the words of the Lord. There's creative power that lasts. It's not like a battery and there's a bit of power and then, it's hanging on, so the power and, I don't think there's any power. The words of Jesus will last forever. So what does Paul say to Timothy? Young man, he says, I want you to remember the prophecies once made about you. Once made about you. Get them out. Be reading them. Timothy, remember them. 1 Timothy 1:18, 19. Remember these prophecies so that by them you can fight the fight of faith, which along with faith and a good conscience will keep you from a shipwreck. So these words, the words of God have power to keep us from a shipwreck. I don't need God's word. That was for when I was young. That was different. No, let me urge you, dig them out, remember them. These words bring life. They bring creative power. And the Lord speaks to these bones. He speaks with purpose. And what I love, he covers the bones. He says, I will bring skin and I'll attach. I will. I'll attach. Bone, you feel alone. I'm going to attach some skin and tendons to you. You're going to know what it is to be joined. You're going to know what it is to be in connection. In partnership. You can imagine the bone think, yeah, but I've only ever known it like this and I just want to lie here. Leave me alone. But the Father says, I want to connect you because in connecting you, you'll find the purpose that you always had, but that seems to have gone. I'm going to put breath in you. You'll come to life. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise. And when the Spirit of God gets moving, sometimes there's a noise. What's that? It was all really quiet. Graveyards are quiet, aren't they? We used to live in a house with a garden that backed onto a grave. It was just very quiet. There wasn't a lot of yawping and noise about. It was just very still. In this graveyard, there's a noise. There's a rattling sound and the bones come together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them. Skin covered them, but there was no breath. Friends, can you hear the rattling of bones? There's a rattling of bones in this city, in this nation. There's a rattling of bones coming together. Because God has spoken. He's bringing hips and thighs and pelvis and back. He's bringing bones together. Can you hear it? There's a rattling noise. Bones are coming together. It's quite disturbing, I guess, if we're in that environment. What's that noise? And oh my God, what's happening? I don't know. Yeah, skeletons coming together. Bizarre. He's looking though, Ezekiel is looking, and these tendons and flesh are coming. Friends, it's the activity of the Holy Spirit to bring into connection. It's an activity of Jesus through the Spirit to build the church. It's an activity of God to bring connection. So therefore, if you have anything opposite to that in your life, it is not the work of God. God brings us to unity. He brings us to covenant connection. He brings us to relationship. He says you're one loaf. He says you're a body. Lots of our world talks about the opposite. It talks about do your own thing. Find your own way. Look within. See what you can find. What's the answers there? You don't need people. Pursue your agenda, your diary. We're very, very individualistic. But God says, I want to do something together. I'm going to join you. Maybe you consider yourself a dead bone. The best part of your life, well, that's behind. I'm dry, disconnected. The good news is, because Jesus is alive and risen, he wants to draw you back into partnership. And he may call you to a time of confession, forgiveness, things that separate us. Even in families that we love, we find unforgiveness comes. God says, I want to restore a relationship. Maybe you sense it's a season, well, I'll wait for him. I'll wait for him. But I'm here to say, I think it could be today. It's today. Today is the day. Let it be today. Now, the prophet had a ring-sized seat, didn't he? And he could see these bones coming together. The bones were coming together. He was calling, speaking. So one of the things I see is that there are fresh joinings. There's fresh joinings for you here in Bassett Street. There's fresh joinings with individuals too. I feel like there's some prospering of business arrangements that God has to bring. And we're going to pray for some people in a minute. I feel like God says it's a time for me to do something of a new shape. A new shape. That's a challenge to us who are a bit older, because we think, well, I've seen it done in this shape before and that seemed to work. So why don't we go with what worked before? What if the Lord wanted to do a new shape? A new joining, new partnerships, new friendships. Tendons appeared on these bones. Skin is covered. There's been a creative miracle. Those who've been isolated, bones have been drawn in. Let me just pause there and get back to the story in a second. But to remind us, what confidence can we have that what happened then can happen today? What's our confidence? Yes, it's great, it's scripture, and we can say, yeah, this God's breathed in all of this scripture. But what's our confidence that God does it today? Our confidence is the cross, the one and only place, the central place of all our confidence for all God's prophetic words. We come to the cross. And the amazing thing on the cross is he was broken. We can read the stories. We've looked at them in recent weeks, I imagine. The stories of Christ broken, his blood shed. His brokenness is the guarantee of our joinedness. Us being made right with God and one with him happened because he was like torn so that we could be joined. Because he's been raised with breath, if we are in him, Paul says, you have also been raised with him. Friends, if he's the head and we're the bodies go where the head goes, doesn't it? At least it does with me. Where the head goes, the body follows. Where the head goes, there the body follows. Because his head, he's been risen. Now guess where the body follows. Here's the thing I realized this week. Actually, in Christ, the spirit in us, we have already, that's already resurrected. Did you know that? In Christ, your spirit has already resurrected. We're waiting for the bodily resurrection, but in Christ, your spirit has already been made new. Do we know that? Lord, my spirit has there's already part of me that's been resurrected, that will live for eternity, be made new. The old has been cut off from that. And it's brand new before God without stain or wrinkle already through the cross. And I wait for my body and mind to catch up. And my spirit says to my mind, get it. Hear the good news, Adrian. It's already happening. Our confidence is that through the cross. You see, there's breath going to enter these bones. Who breathed the life into the first bones? Genesis 1, God made the man. He breathed into his nostrils. He breathed. Isn't it wonderful that in the first Adam, breath came from God. In the second Adam, he emptied himself of breath. He said, it's finished. And he breathed his last. But then God stepped in and raised Jesus from the dead and breathed life. Can you imagine what that was like as the Father breathes life? The Spirit comes upon the corpse of the Son and breathes life into him. Death will not hold you. Death will not hold us, because like him, God's breath enters us. That's our confidence. In this story, the one who spoke, he's raised the Son. The one who was broken like the bones has been raised to new life. The one whose breath filled mankind now fills these bones. So that's our confidence. Our confidence is in God. So, Bassett Street. Here's some things I wonder that God would be saying to you. I just see it as a season of new alignments. I mentioned that just previously. It's like God is going to give you new joining contexts. It's like you've been stripped down. It's like, as I've seen, I was seeing a car, quite a sporty car, but it's been slowly stripped down. And the Lord says, I'm rebuilding and reshaping. And I feel like God's saying, I'm not building you for speed, I'm building you for size. I'm building you for size. And so sometimes we can think, we want a fast sports car. Look, a fast sports car. But actually sometimes God says, I want to bring a community together. Okay, oh, that's different. I see for you in Bassett Street, the Lord says he's been stripping down, but now I'm rebuilding. And there's a fresh call and commission on leadership here. I feel like God said, I've been preparing you. You're leaner and fitter. And I've been giving you, I'm clearing space for you to grow. And as I watch, there's a biological thing in a forest. Sometimes if you cut a big tree down, it leaves a massive hole. But you come back next year and I look, there's 20 saplings. Where were they? They were overshadowed by this big tree, but now there's saplings coming out. And I just see for yourselves that God has said, I've been clearing. It's not like out of sin. It's not like judgment. Oh, I'm going to, no. Out of grace, because God is wanting to enlarge you. He's been clearing space because there's like 10 or 12 saplings. And I feel like God's wanting to bring an enlargement on you for capacity. And for size, a space for you to grow as people. And this space is not big enough. God's bringing shape to maybe you feel, oh, we've been a pile of bones. But as you allow God to lead you, I think there's something of restoration and rejoining in your borough. There's something of connection. See, friend, Bassett Street is not meant to be hidden and one of the little churches tucked away at the end. Bassett Street, you have an influence into this borough and beyond that God says, I'm stirring again. I don't know your history. I spoke to Nick the other week and said, actually, I'd rather just, you know, don't tell me anything, because then I can say, you can weigh it. But it's like this. I want to say the season of dry bones, Bassett Street, has finished. The season of dry bones has finished. God is joining together. And his breath will be filling, because one of the things is you are a prophetic people. Okay, it's not me coming that makes you a prophetic people. It's God's work in you that, and you have already known the work of the Spirit. You are a prophetic people. I can work with Mike and others in the team to strengthen and equip you and say, oh, okay. Oh, so that's what that was. Bring some definition and shape. You are a prophetic people. You have been hearing his voice. He has been speaking, but it's like the acceleration now is going to come. It's going to be acceleration in growth, acceleration in families, acceleration in you hearing God's voice. And sure, we learn to steward it, but you are a prophetic people. You are a prophetic people. It's like fresh ways. He's covering you. He's covering you. I feel like you are not to see yourself as second rate. Or, okay, we're somewhere in the queue of churches and around. I'm not talking about, you know, boasting and being performance driven, but something in our heart, we think, oh, we'll just do our little bit. You know, we don't think it's that makes that much difference. No, God says, I'm breathing on you. Even with Mike and Sue coming up, being among you, in a greater way through the generosity of the church to them. Actually, there's something will happen in you that it's like God's growing you up, and it's partly stop thinking like a child, start thinking like a man. Stop thinking like a child, start thinking like a man. Okay, what would it look like to start thinking like as people with authority, as people whose God's breath has entered? It's a new season of joining, new partnerships. I feel like God says, I give you permission to go off the expected path. I think God wants to connect you to some surprising people around the borough. He gives you permission because he trusts you. He trusts you. You're his people. And some of that brings a bit of a challenge. So leaders, I want to encourage you to hold things lightly. Because we could think, okay, well, that bone needs to go with that one. And we try, it's going to go, because that's what I think. And maybe we, okay, Lord, what do you think? Oh, I like that. Oh, that relationship and that can, okay, I just didn't see that. But of course, sometimes we need to step back and say, okay, Lord, we don't abdicate authority because the prophet is speaking, so breath come, but he's not the one that's running, okay, this bone and that, okay, I'm going to make it happen. And then we've got a bit of a, no, he says, breath, Spirit of God, you come, breathe life. And so I want to speak, breath of God, you come. I speak life over Bassett Street. I speak life over your marriages. I speak life over your work and employment and influence in the marketplace. I speak God's breath to be joining you in places where I never saw that. I think there's fresh relationships, fresh partnerships. God has something fresh to bring. And I want to ask you individually, are you joined? Are you joined? Are you joined on your terms? Yeah, and I'll see if it's okay. That's often how it is. You say, well, if it suits me, you know, I've got some other things I'm joined to, but, you know, if I can, God said, I want to join you. I want you to find purpose. Maybe you're a thigh bone that needs to finally find the kneecap so you can give take a good step and a kick. God has got calls on leadership. But that happens largely as we are joined to one another and, importantly, as we're joined to him. It's a new day of joining. One of the things I don't think that you have, but as I pray for you, I felt like God said, it's time to take down the railings. And with that, I felt, I didn't see any out there, any railings, are there? But it's like, you know, we can have railings around us. Don't come close. Or, now this is us. We know who we are. Yeah. You're a bit different. Just, what if God was wanting to take you outside your railings, your fence? What if God was wanting to bring an influence for you to speak life into other families of God in the community, in the city? What if there's whatever streams they be, and yeah, they're different emphases, but as people of God, what if there was something that God was wanting to bring an energy and a life through Bassett Street being involved in some partnership or other? I think God is wanting to bring accelerated partnerships. I'd love to pray for some people as we head towards the finish. Does that be all right? The thing about that is, I don't know who to pray for. Because you're all wonderful people. But I would like to pray for Tim. Was it Paul? Sorry, you came over. I'd like to pray for you, Paul. So this is how the prophetic works for me, and let it encourage you. So lots of people, you're all very nice, smiley people. Most of you. Oh, yeah. Okay. And so God loves to speak to each one of you. And maybe I could get to pray with a three or four, but I'm not going to get around everybody. So there's a sense that we can all speak and bless one another in the prophetic. There is a sense that God can highlight people to me. And so part of the reason I'm talking to you, because I'm asking him and saying, Lord, you've got to show me. Because otherwise, but you can pray for each other, because, and you know each other. So this is what we're going to do. I want to pray for one or two people that God draws out. If Holy Spirit, that would be a good thing to do. And the others of you, though, you can get into twos and threes. And I'd like you just to pray for blessing on the joining, blessing on bones, blessing on our partnership. Pray for the church. Pray for each other. If you're a visitor here, feel very free just to take part or sit it out. Okay, so I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray for that lady there. So I don't know anyone's names. We'll pray for you in a minute. If you're a leader in the church, would you just stand? If you're like one of the leadership team, or you have like a leadership responsibility. That's good. They all sit that side, do they? Is that just near the radiators? I don't know. So can the rest of it, can we stretch out our hand? I'd love us to bless these people who carry before God. Maybe it's there's different things. There's trusteeship, there's spiritual authority, there's oversight of different groups. But we just want to pray, Lord, for the parenting, the fathering and mothering of a church. Lord, we pray, all of us together, Lord, we pray blessing. Lord, and we ask you, let your breath enter these bones. Lord, thank you that you're already at work. Lord, I come today and it's not to initiate something that you haven't already started, but you're already at work. Lord, you're raising, Lord God, the temperature. You're pouring out your spirit. So we pray, Holy Spirit, come upon each of them. Come upon leadership gifts. Pray for grace. Lord, we pray for an anointing. Lord, we pray for calling. Lord, we pray for strengthening. Father, we pray for your fire. We pray for your fire.
Just having a sense of thinking, as these leaders are standing here, I've just had a nudge from God. And you know where Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Him, Jesus being the good shepherd. I just want to say to you, church, learn to hear the voice of your leaders. Not that they're going to lord it over you. Not that they've been placed there to do that. But they oversee you. They shepherd you. And if you like, they have the ear of the Lord. So learn to hear their voices. Because when they speak, it will be the heavenly shepherd's voice that they are bringing either direction or encouragement. But just as we know the voice of the good shepherd, learn to know the voice of your leaders.
Yeah, thanks, Corinne. Yeah, Jesus. I want to pray for sometimes leading. We do have bruises, bumps. People are great to lead sometimes. Don't know if the rest of you realize that. So. Sometimes leaders lie awake at night thinking about you. Thinking, what do we do? But what's your will? What's your way? Sometimes we weep. Sometimes we have knocks and bumps, and it's not always intended. That's just how it happens. And so sometimes we are poked and we suffer some pain. And so Lord, I want to pray for a grace covering of healing over every hurt, Lord, in you. Church, why don't we pray like that God wraps a healing blanket of grace, that he strengthens, Lord, weak knees, Lord, that you bring encouragement where doubts are creeping in. Father, that you bring blessing where there's been disappointment. Yeah, I felt that God wants to lift disappointment out of something failed. And it was a failed person, a failed leadership like project, a failed event. Actually, that God says, I'm sovereign. Maybe it even goes back to that picture of a large oak tree in the church being cleared and the little oak trees that have space. But maybe if you had your hope in the big oak tree, you think, oh, what was all that? Oh, that hurt when that tree fell. So I want to pray, Lord, we pray for grace, Lord, where there's any wound of disappointment, Lord, where we don't understand. Lord, we don't understand it all. You never said we would. So I pray for grace healing come. Pray for grace healing to come. Lord, grace healing to come. Lord Jesus. Jesus. Your spirit. Your kindness. Jesus. Jesus, would your fragrance come? Lord, just pray. Lord, strength to arise. It was Luke, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We pray strength arise in Luke. Strength arise. Courage. Father, I pray for around Luke, Lord, you would give him courageous voices. Like Luke, what's in your heart? God's stirring. He's giving vision. He's giving something of adventure and of enlargement in you. And just want to water into that and feed that. What the Lord has said and what you're feeling, a momentum of the Lord speaking. Yeah, do pray it. Do bring it to him. Do bring it to those around you. But it's like I want to water, like rocket fuel. Lord, would you propel? Lord, would you call? Would you speak? Would you enable? Would you provide? Lord, would you provide? God, would you bring all your godly provision, Lord, abundantly, pressed down, running over. Lord, pray for an anointing. Oh, God. Lord Jesus, we bless them in you. What I'd like to do, those of you who are leaders, it'd be great to just, why don't we serve our people and just move between them and pray. So if you would like these guys to come and pray for you, perhaps you stand up and then you seven or eight, we just want to bless. So if you'd like someone to come and pray for you, stay standing up. If you'd rather just sit quietly for the minute, just stay in your seat. But if you'd like to be prayed for...